This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Tonight, a father is fighting for answers after his son vanishes into thin air in Idaho. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Terrence Woods is a member of a TV production crew filming near an abandoned mine in the remote Idaho wilderness. As the crew wraps a long day, something suddenly shifts. Terrence bolts, running full speed into the woods alone and never seen again.
That makes absolutely no sense. He bolts and runs full speed into the woods and he's never seen again. I smell a rat. This is a guy with a double master's degree. How does he just vanish into the woods and what, everybody walks away and leaves him? There he is in London where he got a double master's degree. And just when it seems like all of his dreams were coming true, he vanishes into thin air. Watch this.
I want a gold mine, my way and on my terms.
Veteran miner Dave Turin is an expert gold hunter.
What in the world?
And after 2 years out of the game, he's searching for a way back in.
This could be my future mining right here.
Dave will cross the country from north to south to prospect multiple lost and abandoned mines.
Gold's right there.
Hoping to find the one that will make him a fortune.
I'm not walking away from it. He'll be out of his damn mind.
Now that is from Gold Rush. And what it is from the trailer of Gold Rush, Dave Turin's Lost Mine. Is that what led to his disappearance? How does that fit in with this?
I want him to come home. I want him to know that we love him. Your family miss you. Your sisters, your brothers, they want you to come home safe. He was living his dream. He was doing what he wanted to do. And he did everything to get to this point. And it just for it to be, for us to even be here, it's unbelievable.
I got a call on October 6th at 7:45 a.m. in the morning. And I was told that my son, allegedly in Elk City, Idaho, while working with a company, fell off a cliff or went off a cliff without being seen since then.
From our friends at KLEW, how do you go off a cliff and then your body is never found? Did he run into the woods? Did he run off a cliff? And what, is everyone standing by just twiddling their thumbs? This is a beautiful, bright young man who's making his dreams come true. And tonight, no answers? I don't get it. Joining us, an all-star panel. But first, straight out to Dion Mitchell, executive producer, Crime Redefined podcast. Dion, thank you and Mehul for being with us. Dion, what is your understanding of what happened?
Exactly that. If you believe the eyewitness, you know, he dropped his radio and ran down the hill. So if you take her eyewitness at face value, in my opinion, he's probably still on the mountain. But I do find the whole take odd. Crew members just don't disappear off a set, especially where it's remote, when there's only one way in and one way out.
And your point is, of course, you're right. But what is your point there, Dion Mitchell?
My point is that if everything's taken at face value, that he's still on the mountain somewhere.
So if he's still on the mountain, why isn't there a search and rescue team finding his body?
That's the question. You know, why isn't there a search and rescue? And that's what we're trying to do, is actually get a proper team out there, you know, use all the latest tech and see if we can bring him home.
Mehul Angeria is joining us, co-host along with Dion Mitchell of Crime Redefined podcast. They first found out about this missing person case, and it has totally blown my mind. Mehul, Dion Mitchell is correct. After every shoot I've ever been on, it takes hours to break it down. All that equipment, the video, the people, the cars, the And they're getting off of a remote shoot in the middle of rugged terrain, and they all just poof, vanish, like I Dream of Jeannie, poof, they're all just gone. That didn't happen. So did no one call 911 immediately? Did no one try to save him? What is your understanding, Mehul, about what happened?
Well, there were at least two witnesses who allegedly saw him run down the cliff, if that's even possible. Supposedly, a few of the crew member went after him. And then when they came back up, their clothes were all ripped and they were all bloody. So they did call 911. They found like a cabin on the mountain and made the 911 call. The 911 call is sort of mysterious, though, because they start talking about, gee, Terrence was having a tough time. He possibly had a mental breakdown. All of this is news to his father. There's no history of any kind of mental problems. So it's very curious. Number one, why would you run down a hill? And then this thing about this mental issue. And what further complicates it, Nancy, is that this crew was international. They were from the UK. So very quickly, all of the crew member went back to London, except for one individual who stayed back to talk to the sheriff's department and to Terrence and his to Terrence Wood Sr.
So let me understand. There was no crime scene. The witnesses were not detained by law enforcement. Everybody just went on their merry way after he allegedly falls off a cliff amidst claims of mental problems. Nobody ever mentioned a mental problem before. They didn't have a problem with him on the shoot. How can a guy with mental problems get two master's degrees in London and come back and live his dream? What mental problem?
Well, that's just it. I mean, there were some reports that he grabbed a drone out of the air, that he was complaining about his family. And what was really appalling is when the one crew member who stayed behind first met Terrence Wood Sr., he started talking about how he was disappointed with Terrence's the work that he did. I mean, rather than being empathetic. And, you know, to your point about the investigation, Nancy, the sheriff's department very quickly said, oh, we don't suspect foul play. Well, how would you know? You didn't do a thorough investigation. You didn't talk to the 12 people who had spent a good week with him. So I don't know how you can conclude that there's no foul play. And what's worse is it seems like the sheriff's department is thinking that this is a runaway case, not a missing persons, not foul play. So while on the front end, they did a wonderful job searching for him for 6-7 days, it's just went cold. And the sheriff's department is saying it's an open case. And as a result, they will not release any reports or paperwork to us. But meanwhile, they're not doing anything further to find him.
So let me understand. Nothing is being done to find him. And they allegedly, the crew, see him fall off a cliff or run off a cliff, which I find very difficult to believe. But they see him run off a cliff. They see where it happened, and after 7 days, no body was found? How can that be, Mehul?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the sensitivity of the search, I mean, they had forward-looking IR cameras. They had bloodhounds. You know, they had some of Terrence's clothing to use. That's a whole nother story about how his clothing was found. But the fact that there was no trace of him, you know, Terrence Woods Sr. has some question as to whether or not he actually made it to Idaho. Because the crew was first in Montana and then went to Idaho. There's a lot of eyewitness statements that he was in Idaho, but I don't know that we have any video or photos or anything like that. And, you know, I'm a physical evidence guy, and this is one thing we need to get. We need to start ruling things out here, at least.
Agree about the physical evidence. Joining us right now, Brian Fitzgibbons. He is the director of operations at USPA Nationwide Security. He leads a team of missing person investigators around the world, finding and extracting missing people. He is a former Marine. He is an Iraqi war vet. Fitzgibbons, I find it really hard to believe that the crew can identify where this young man jumps headlong off a cliff in front of God and everybody, and they search 7 days and can't find him. It's almost as if it didn't happen that way. You see where he jumped, but you can't find him?
Yeah, and it sounds like there was a pretty intense search over the course of just about a week that was done to locate Terrence Woods Jr. And what's immediately concerning to me, Nancy, and you know, with this story from the production crew, they're going to these remote areas. This is not their first rodeo. And you're telling me that they don't have any ability to communicate via satellite phone, that they have to trek through the woods to encounter, you know, somebody in a cabin that has access to a satellite phone, that they're, you know, seasoned producers out in these remote areas with no ability to communicate. That does not add up to me. That immediately is a red flag.
Well, they could call 911. So they do have the ability to communicate. Listen to this, Fitz.
At 8:34, my son texts me back. Said, Dad, I'm coming home on Wednesday, the 10th. So between that little time, something went wrong. Then the next call I get is from the company saying my son disappeared. Can't find a trace of him.
From our friends at Fox 5, back to you, Dion Mitchell. Not a trace? Nothing? Did authorities find anything to corroborate the story that he suddenly just ran? He ran for it. He took off his belt and his equipment and ran for it and jumped. Anything? Was the belt there? Was the equipment there? Any shoe? Any article of clothing? Anything to corroborate this story?
No, just the one eyewitness. And that's what makes this really wild. You have one eyewitness says he ran down this cliff. And that was the first kind of red flag for me. If you're familiar with this area at all, it's not really cliffy. It's more like a rolling hill. You can't mine on cliffs. So you pick areas that you can get your equipment into, trek it into. And so for him to have jumped off a cliff was like the first thing. It's just, it's at 4,000 feet. It's more kind of like rolling hills that's heavily forested. So that was like the first thing it said, like, yeah, did it really happen that way? And then let's face it, you know, Terrence is from Maryland. He lived in London, and guys like that don't go running into the forest. He had to actually buy shoes, boots for this. So this is an area that he's not familiar with. So you're going to stay close to the rest of the crew. And the other red flag for me is probably something happened between the 4th and the 5th. Hey, Dad, I made it, to, hey, Dad, I'm coming home the following day. So what happened in that time period? And I think that's where we should focus.
This is what the sheriff says.
He went over to the edge, and there were several people watching him, including one of the local guys. And they said he just decided to take off, and he shot down that hill. And he would not stop. He would not return. And he just kept going, and they lost him at the... There's a road down below where he dropped straight down the hill, almost straight down.
He couldn't find any clothes. The tracks are the best that we could follow, and they're not dead pods that they were his. But they believed they were, but that's not an absolute. There's been no sign. There's been no information. There's been no sighting. There's been nothing. And that definitely is unusual.
And it sounds like there's been no investigation. That's from our friends at KBOI and KTVB. Let me understand something, Dion Mitchell. I immediately see a discrepancy. You are saying there was one witness, but to hear the sheriff tell it, there were lots of witnesses. What's the truth?
As far as all the interviews that have been done, there was only one clear witness. The main part of the crew was actually on the set where they were actually doing the filming at the mine. So there was only one eyewitness that saw him take off down the hill, and he dropped his radio and just apparently sprinted. I don't know how you sprint down a cliff, but that's what they're telling us. I don't think there was a number of, at least as far as the interviews that we've seen and that we've done on our podcast, other than the one eyewitness, the female transportation person, I don't think anybody else saw him because it was a skeleton crew, and they're either going to be at a base camp or they're going to be where the filming is actually taking place for the promo.
Guys, let's dissect what the sheriff said one more time. Listen.
Went over to the edge, and there were several people watching him, including one of the local guys, and they said he just decided to take off, and he shot down that hill, and he would not stop. He would not return, and he just kept going, and they lost him at the... There's a road down below where he dropped straight down the hill, almost straight down.
He couldn't find any clothes. The tracks are the best that we could follow, and they're not dead pods that they were his. But they believed they were, but that's not an absolute. There's been no sign. There's been no information. There's been no sighting. There's been nothing. And that definitely is unusual.
Mehul Angeria joining us. He's the co-host, along with Dion Mitchell, on Crime Redefined podcast. That was from our friends at KBOI and KTVB. Let's analyze what the sheriff just said. Okay, he went over the edge. There were several people watching. No, according to you, one person was there when he went over the edge. The others may have been on the crew, but they're not eyewitnesses. Number one, he would not stop. He took off. He kept going. They lost him at a road. Where, Mehul, does the road fit in? I thought he went over a cliff. What are they talking about, a road?
Well, once he got to the bottom of the cliff area, there is a road there. So there's some thought that, you know, there was some elaborate scheme to for him to disappear and that a car picked him up. But that is just
I've got to see Mehul as he's actually saying this, because this is crazy talk. Okay, so let me understand this. This is not like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, where they get smashed and killed and then they jump up again and start running. Am I supposed to believe, and this is coming from the sheriff, that he, our victim, jumps over a cliff, falls down to a road, and there's a clandestine meetup with a car that takes him away? Or he gets up and runs, like the Roadrunner? What are you saying that with a straight face?
I don't know how you say that with a straight face. It makes no sense. And you know, the sheriff's department sometimes out there has this attitude that people go missing out there all of the time and eventually they'll turn up. So again, there's this sort of this attitude that he was just a runaway and they're not going to look into it. I'm sure we'll talk about this, but there is a lot of physical evidence right now that could be looked at to try to see if this story makes any sense whatsoever.
Like what?
Well, number one, Terrence Woods Jr.'s laptop is available. His dad has it. Now, the sheriff's department, who's probably not that sophisticated in advanced investigation, they said, we couldn't get into the laptop, and we were afraid basically we would get locked out of it. So Terrence Woods Sr. has Terrence Jr.'s laptop. There's going to be a wealth of information on that. On top of that, they have his camera. And to hear Terrence Woods Sr. talk about it, the order of the pictures on the camera doesn't make sense. So we have digital evidence here. In terms of the cell phone, Terrence Jr.'s cell phone, that wasn't recovered. We hope that there's records, but my understanding is that if those records were not frozen, that they go away after about a year. So we don't know if we even have the option of looking at the cell phone records.
You know what? I don't think that's, yes, some evidence will go away. But Brian Fitzgibbons, you and I have worked on a lot of missing people cases, a lot of homicide cases, and digital evidence such as cell phone records, they live forever in the cloud. We're not going to lose that.
Yeah, there will be some some degree of evidence remaining from that cell phone. Maybe not location data, maybe not app data, that could help pinpoint a last location, but there will be some about his last communications. The other piece with this laptop, that absolutely should and can be investigated. That laptop may have connected to his phone. That laptop may have messages, SMS text messages on there. If it's an Apple laptop, his phone may be connected directly to it. So it seems like fingers are not being lifted here. That's an easy task to be done.
Okay, I'm very curious about what evidence has been obtained, what evidence has been saved and curated. But let's look at what else the sheriff said. Fitzgibbons, listen to this. We couldn't find any clothes. The tracks were the best we could follow. We're not sure those are his. So is he on the side of the cliff? Is he on the road? The sheriff is the one that said they lost him at a road down below. So am I supposed to believe that he vanished into thin air. None of this makes sense. Were scent dogs brought out? Were cadaver dogs brought out? Were drones brought out? Or was it all just chalked off to some crazy plot where he jumps off a cliff and then gets into a getaway car?
Yeah, that's something that doesn't add up. There was a fairly extensive search done with dogs, with aerial assets, infrared. So you would think, you know, Terrence Woods Jr. was not an experienced mountaineer. This was not an experienced outdoorsman that could trek. You know, it would probably take him close to a full day to navigate back to any type of civilization. So you would have to imagine, after an extensive search was done with those assets, they would have found him had he died in the elements out there. So, you know, that adds a layer to this and a layer of validation to Terrence Woods Sr.'s question, was he ever at that site?
Talked to him before he went out there, and he seemed fine. It was nothing abnormal. He wasn't acting different, and I talked to him all the time, and it didn't seem like he was depressed. He's not the type of person that would just run off or do anything like that, so it seems unusual to me, but I wasn't there.
From our friends at KBOI to Dion Mitchell joining us along with Mehul Angeria. They are co-hosts and produce Crime Redefined podcast, and they are the ones that found this case, and that's how we at Crime Stories learned about it. So thank you. I guess if others would have their way, nobody would ever know about this case. I don't believe you can suddenly get a bout of depression and your family not know anything about you've ever been depressed, you've ever had suicidal ideation, you're on some kind of medication, nothing. And what the sheriff is saying doesn't make sense. I mean, you've got the sister stating, I talked to him just before this and he was fine. He was not depressed. And here is what we call routine evidence. And I do not mean Dion Mitchell. Routine is in typical evidence. It's routine evidence. I mean evidence of someone's routine. For instance, I get up at 5. I make my mother's breakfast. I make my son's breakfast. I make the granny nanny. Each one of them has their own special, unique coffee I make for them. I feed the cat, I feed the dog, I feed the guinea pig. And when everybody's gone to school, then I start work. That is my routine, and that is not going to change. Heaven help me. This is not his routine. He would never disappear from work, never leave without talking to his parents, and certainly never jump off a cliff.
No, absolutely. And everything in his background, he was an absolute pro. That's why Ra hired him in the first place. And there's all his professors going at University of Maryland, the journalism school, anybody that's worked for him from Maryland to London, had nothing but great things to say about him. And so all of a sudden, he's just going to, you know, have a meltdown on the side of a mountain, go taking off. It's so out of character for him. It's unbelievable. And we just don't believe it.
My son, 130 pounds soaking wet. These guys are big like me, and you're going to say, you watch this little guy go to kill himself or whatever you're trying to put out there. Come on, man.
They said when all of them came back up the cliff, their clothes was ripped, some of them were bleeding. Well, they had dogs. You didn't even find a trace of my son's blood nor any ripped clothes. I mean, let's come on.
Brian Fitzgibbons, that is BS, technical legal term. Scent dogs would have immediately picked up on blood. Did you hear what the dad said? Oh, from our friends at Fox 5. The dad says the friends, come up with ripped clothes, bleeding, but the dogs found no trace of Terrence's blood nor any ripped clothes, nothing. Why were their clothes ripped? Where'd that blood come from? That's also from our friend, Dr. Field. So this is not fitting together forensically. They're saying there was blood, there were ripped clothes, but the dogs don't pick up on any of that. I believe the dog over the people.
Yeah, the logic doesn't add up, right? If Terrence Woods Jr. was going through the same terrain that these folks from the crew set off to search for him, it would be safe to assume that that same terrain would produce the same results, scratches on those branches. There's absolutely something that these scent dogs would pick up. As you and I both know, a number of cases we've worked on together, the talent of these scent dogs it's not comprehensible how easily they can pick up a scent in that thick brush, that woods terrain. So it's not believable that this wouldn't have happened to Terrence Woods Jr. as well.
He was there for 4 days and kept on the same pair of socks, same shirt, same underwear, but they also had a pair of shoes in his luggage inside of a plastic bag, which had mud all over them, mud everywhere. At least it should be a pair of pants where the bottom of the pants should have some type of mud or something on them. That's not even in a bag.
Everything had frozen in time because up to this date, nothing had happened and everything is still the same. The sheriff department out there, they're not doing anything. They said that they would not close the case, nor would they give me any information pertaining to the case.
From Dr. Phil and Fox 5, okay, straight back out to you, Mehul and Jeria, co-host, along with Dion Mitchell of Crime Redefined, the significance of what we just heard, that you've got the muddy shoes in a plastic bag in the suitcase, but there are no pants to go with them. Where are his clothes? What are you picking up from what Terrence Woods Sr. is saying? What's probative? What does it prove?
Well, to me, it may prove that somebody contaminated the scene in the hotel room where they got Terrence's clothing. So it seems like if you were doing a proper investigation, you would close off that hotel room. But it seems that the crew had access to it. And you just start to wonder if the contents of the suitcase were manipulated as if somebody's trying to hide something. Because one pair of muddy shoes and the rest of the nice, clean clothing makes absolutely no sense.
My son saw something, heard something that he shouldn't have seen or shouldn't have heard and didn't like it. My son's not in the woods.
From our friends at Fox 5, what does he mean by that? What does he mean? He thinks his son saw something or knew something he wasn't supposed to know, Dion Mitchell.
Great question. And, you know, because of I mentioned earlier that there's something happened between the 4th and the 5th. I could see where Terrence Woods Sr. could make that kind of assumption. And we haven't seen anything, but that's why we want to do an investigation. I also want to go back to something else, is that a lot of people that are not familiar with this location was at 4,400 feet. And the road, the access road to get in from where Terrence went missing to there is a trek. It's a distance, and you'd probably need a compass. Otherwise, you're just walking blindly until you just stumble across the road. And then the distance from the hotel to get to the location on a good day is over 2 hours. So that means that Terrence would have had to run down the hill, luckily find the road, and then have a car waiting, and then drive back 2 hours out without anybody else seeing him. So Terrence Sr. he's got a point.
This is total BS. Now, I want you to hear what the father, Terrence Woods Sr., says about what happened when he gets to Idaho.
When he took the 911 call and I spoke, he said, "Mr. Woods, something's not right about this. Something is not right." He said, "When you get to Idaho, make sure you see me." When I got to Idaho, went to the sheriff's department, I seen this person. This person gave me an envelope. He said, "Whatever you do, don't tell anybody I gave this to you and don't show it to anybody. No problem." I go back to the hotel room. I open the envelope up. It's the original police report that was called in. And this police report is saying detail for detail what quote unquote was said when they called this in. One, they said my son was a dark complexion person, not dark at all. Okay, moving along. Then you all said that morning he had an anxiety attack. Okay, well, if he had an anxiety attack, did you all call professional medical assistance? And no report that you will hear or read or anything. No one never once up to this second said they call for professional medical assistance.
That's right. If he was having all these problems and anxieties, Why didn't anyone call his family, call 911, do anything to help him? It is not corroborated by a single person that Terrence Jr. had any type of anxiety. You know, that you just heard, that was his father, Terrence Woods Sr., desperate for answers about his son. Can you imagine? Your child just disappears and nobody will help you? He was speaking to our new friends, Dion Mitchell and Mehul Angeria. Dion, question. I got a problem whenever I hear a cop, any LE, law enforcement, state, hey, don't tell anybody, but something's wrong here. Here's the police report. I've had a big problem with that.
Yeah, that's not a good look. And it seems like everything just seems like too clean and too perfect. And then what's being told and what actually happened just aren't coming together. And I mean, I can completely understand Terrence Woods Sr.'s just questioning everything, especially when you get handed an envelope and say, hey, here's the real police report. But somebody was trying to project a simple story to this that I think is a lot more complicated than we know.
Okay, wait till you hear this, Fitzgibbons. Wait till you hear this. Listen.
You told me, oh, we had to detain him. If he had an anxiety attack, why would you have to detain him somewhere? No, but everything worked out. You still didn't answer that question. Well, everything worked out, and then we went on out, and the day was going along well.
They detain him? He's the one having anxiety, and they detain him? Terrence Jr.? This is... None of this makes sense. When it doesn't make sense, somebody's lying, Fitzgibbons.
Yeah, I don't like that his personal belongings seem to be sanitized. I don't like the delayed communication to family. I don't like the fact that no one from the crew used their device to call law enforcement. I still don't believe that they had no means to communicate out from that job site. And now we're hearing, you know, they're telling the family member that there was a pretty significant issue, that you had to physically detain somebody. This is not adding up.
I don't get it either. Mehul, why would they detain him if he's having the anxiety issue?
To wonder if they're painting a picture that somehow Terrence was a danger to them or something, because we had some claims about his incompetence, and now he's having some sort of mental breakdown and they're potentially having to detain him. What about calling for help? What about caring for your coworker above the project? It's not adding up. And again, if we could interview the crew, which should have been done on day one, we would have better answers to this, because we have one representative for the crew, which means that we don't have to look at, are there different stories that aren't adding up? So the narrative here is just not really reliable. And this is why Deanne and I are involved in this case. And this is why we want to initiate a proper investigation, even though this has gone quite cold. As we've discussed, there's a lot of evidence that can be looked at. And let's cut through some of this hearsay stories. Let's cut through eyewitness stuff. And let's look for some physical evidence that we can really sink our teeth into.
Now you say you're out on the shoot. And he's acting strange. He tries to grab a drone out of the sky. Still, no one sat him down, put him in a car, truck, whatever, and got professional medical assistance. But you all determined that this young man, who's been all over the world, never had an issue nowhere before, he's with you all for this one trip. And this one morning, although he was with you 4 days prior in Montana, which you speak nothing of, but that this one morning in Idaho, he wakes up that morning, have a mental breakdown starting the morning off, then just lose it in the evening and leap off a cliff and run like a hare. They have pictures on their Facebook page with all of them in Montana. My son is in none of the pictures. They have pictures of them in Idaho. My son is in none of the pictures. Well, when I had the private investigator, he claimed, which I never got, that he had the footage from the hotel. If I'm a sheriff, whatever, why don't they have the footage from the hotel? So show me some pictures of my son walking in a hotel, walking out the hotel. I have not seen any of that yet. No one, you know what I'm saying? So where's right. that at?
Dave Mack joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Why don't they have the video of the hotel, of him in the hotel, to prove to me when he was last alive?
You know, Nancy, that is a shocking truism here, that we don't have a lot of basic information that is readily available to everyone. You know, there's camera action showing what was taking place at the hotel. You've got the front desk. You've got computer records that would all back up whether or not he was at the hotel, when he was there, and when he left. And as was mentioned, the shoot site is 2 hours away from the hotel, Nancy. There's a lot of opportunity to find to actually build a correct timetable of what took place with this man before these stories that just don't make any sense. One thing, Nancy, that you need to take in mind here, the area where they were working out in the woods, they claim that he took off like a hare. Remember, he went over the cliff and he ran so fast nobody could catch up with him. Well, the one thing that the searchers came back with is this area has not been touched by human hands for a long time. There's fallen trees on top of fallen trees on top of fallen trees. You can't run in this area. It's an almost impossible task because it just isn't an area that's cleared out regularly. So from the very beginning, the story fails with the facts presented on the scene.
I was supposed to speak to the whole crew. By the time I got there, it was only one person there. They said that there's no reason for me to speak to anyone else. If you go to work today, I go to work today, and I'm with coworkers, God forbid something happened, the first thing your family's going to say, who was he with? Who was she with? Who were they with? If nothing's funny, nothing's out of line, he's with Joe Blow, Mike, Sally, Pam. Because your family want to ask the people, hey, what took place? But when you say, no, you cannot speak to nobody, and you get everyone out of the country, really? So when I'm in the sheriff's department that morning, now mind you, they don't know I have this paperwork. So I said, why did you all say my son had a mental breakdown and leaped off a cliff? The dude Simon said, no one ever said that. I said, well, why did you all say my son was dark complexion? No one said that. The sheriff looks down. He said, Mr. Woods, I have the 911 report right here in front of me. No, no one said anything like that. When he lied to me and looked down at the paper, no one said that. No one said anything like that, Mr. Woods. Where would you get something like that from?
Mehul and Jerry are with us, along with Dion Mitchell, both of them stars of Crime Redefined podcast. Mehul, who is Simon?
Simon G was the lead producer on this shoot, and he's the one who stayed behind and talked to Terrence and the Idaho sheriff when the other crew members beat it back to the UK.
So Simon, the producer, is saying nobody ever had a mental breakdown. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said he was dark complected. And the sheriff, according to Terrence's father, looks down at the police report and goes, yeah, nobody ever said that. But the father got the police report, and that is what it said. Am I correct?
100%. And this just throws into shadow the fact that they're not turning over any reports. And it makes you wonder, because look at the discrepancy in the actual report versus what Simon and the sheriff are saying. I mean, by God's good grace, Mr. Woods got that report from the individual at the sheriff's department. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know about these inconsistencies.
And we learn about pages being ripped out of his diary. What about it, Dion Mitchell? Is that true? Pages ripped out of Terrence's diary? Let me guess. The pages leading up to him running off a cliff?
You know, that's the story. And once again, I'll say it's like the sheriff's department took everything that the showrunner said at face value and really didn't do any extensive, you know, investigating or work or trying to retrace Terrence's steps or anything like that. And it seems like, you know, the room being spotless and everything packed up, no dirty clothes, it just seems like they're trying to project that there's nothing to see here. And we're, you know, Mehul and I, we're just not buying it.
I'm not buying the fact that diary pages were ripped out, and there's more.
Anywhere my son go, he's going to take pictures. He's going to take pictures of himself and his camera. He is nothing in it with my son's physical body. You would think, as soon as I open up, you'd think all the pictures that I would see would be the first pictures of whatever he took while he was in Idaho and Montana. You had pictures when he was in Rome. How did Rome pictures show up before the Idaho pictures? I couldn't find some of them pictures until midway flicking through pictures. The pictures that you just took should not be, it shouldn't be 200 pictures in front of them, 50 pictures in front of them. That means somebody went through them and, you know what I'm saying, scattered them around or whatever. Someone went through that.
That's Terrence's father speaking to our new friends, Mehul Angeria and Dion Mitchell. Brian Fitzgibbons, that stinks to high heaven. Look at your phone. Look at your phone at the pictures you've taken. They're in reverse chronological order. That's how it goes. I see the photo I took of my son last night. That's the first photo I would see. Okay. Then it would go back in time to his fishing trip, to my daughter dressed up to go to a grad party. I'm reeling it off in my mind about the photos that would appear in reverse chronological order. And the dad, I just don't think he would make up this fact that he looked at his son's camera. His son is a photo bug. He takes photos of everything. And the Rome pictures from a Rome trip are there. And then scattered way back in the pictures, the Idaho trip? No, someone has tampered with the camera, Brian.
Yes, tampered with the camera, tampered with the clothes, tampered with the diary, inconsistent statements about his mental state in those last days. You know, any one of these things, if it were associated with this case, you might be able to explain it away. When you now have three, four, five things like this, that jumps off the page. This doesn't make any sense. You know, this is someone who's documenting moment to moment with, you know, high-end cameras, not only his phone, but his own personal equipment. That there's no photos or videos from him from this time? Come on.
It's 32 degrees. He runs down this hill. What did he have on? Oh, he had on, we believe, a light jacket and some pants. His snowsuit that I bought him before he left, that's home with me. He didn't have his snowsuit on. His secondary coat, heavy coat, I bought home with me. So he's out in the woods. Y'all all got on winter coats, everything. But he's out there with a little jacket on.
No, no. Dion Mitchell, I have analyzed similar situations in the past, and I was trying cases and putting them together. If the victim is wearing something inappropriate, that's a big red flag. Right? Here he is on the side of a mountain and he's not wearing a heavy coat? No.
I completely agree. It just doesn't add up, and it kind of goes to what Senior's saying, that he wasn't on the side of the mountain, but yet we have that eyewitness saying that he was. So you would think that someone, you know, from the city would be properly dressed, you bought all this new gear, you'd be wearing it. And once again, the elevation of the chute was at 4,400 feet. Sun goes over the hill, it gets cold in a hurry. So he would have brought it up. It would have been in the van, the transportation van. He would have went and got it. He should have been properly dressed for the shoot if you're going to be out there for, you know, to make your day, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours.
So we've got the pages leading up to his disappearance ripped from his diary. We have no photos of him up on that mountaintop shoot. We have claims of a sudden onset of mental illness, of a suicide, but no body. And let me guess, no cell phone?
I believe, yeah, there's no cell phone. And we're going to try to see if once we get hold of the other information off the laptop, if there's stuff on the cloud. Because Terrence did document everywhere that he went. And that's part of our goal, is to kind of retrace his steps from landing in Missoula, Montana, the drive-in, and see if we can find witnesses along the way that can say, okay, we can factually say he made it to this point before we move forward.
So Mehul Angeria joining us from Crime Redefined podcast. It seems as if the last known sighting of him, other than what the crew was saying, was back at the hotel, and then something went horribly wrong.
Correct. There are some other eyewitness accounts. For example, the night before he went missing, supposedly he was seen at a restaurant chatting up a young lady and getting her phone number. So why wouldn't the police talk to that person or try to find them to confirm that that actually happened and that he was in Idaho?
Well, he certainly doesn't sound depressed. He is talking to a young lady and getting her phone number, and then suddenly he jumps off a cliff, but his body wasn't found. His clothing wasn't found. The scent dogs didn't pick up on it. Was he ever even there? If you know or think you know anything about the disappearance of Terrence Woods Jr., even if you think it is inconsequential, please contact CrimeRedefined.com. Repeat, CrimeRedefined.com. We remember an American hero trooper, Matthew Gaddy, Tennessee Highway Patrol, just 24, killed in the line of duty, leaving behind a wife, now widow, Anna. American hero trooper, Matthew Gaddy. Thank you to our guests, especially our new friends from Crime Redefined, but especially to you for being with us tonight in our search for Terrence. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.